Scrooge is then visited by the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas future, or yet to come, who show him all the memories of his youth, the joy and the struggles of others, and the lonely death that awaits him if he does not change his ways. Touched by each of these visions, Scrooge realizes the errors of his ways. He wakes on Christmas morning with a new, generous heart, reconciling with those he hurt, intending to spread kindness and to spread joy. Now, you may be wondering why we're still in November and I'm talking about a Christmas movie where Kermit the Frog is the main character. Fair question. Well, I'll tell you, the three spirits we see in this story, past, present, and future, are the ways in we need to acknowledge and notice that Christ is King to get the full picture of what is going on. We know that Scrooge in this story, without each one of those visions and seeing the full picture of past, present, future, would not have been moved to change his ways. We, like Scrooge, need to sit and be humble and to notice that Christ has been King, is King currently, and will be forever. First, I want to invite you into looking at the past. In our passage I read from Colossians 1, we see that Christ is the firstborn over all creation. How often do we wander and forget this essential truth, that Christ is not just King now, but has always been King over all of eternity. That he is not just King while reigning on earth in flesh, where he was raised up and nailed to a wooden cross, where he presided as King over all. That during the time of wars gone by, over the millennia, as empires rise, as empires fall, that Christ has always been King. We are not unlike the people of Israel in the Old Testament. These people needed constant reminding and nudging of who God was and what he had done in their lives. We see God call his people to have feasts, to remember their past, and to even create a monument of stone in Joshua 4 to serve as a reminder of what the Lord has done, starting here in verse 5. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord into the midst of the Jordan, and take up of each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, 'What do these stones mean to you?' Then you should tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up their stones. God throughout the Old Testament continually tells his people to remember. To remember, to remember, to remember. Are you remembering that Christ is King well? How often do you hear the phrase, "Christ is Lord," and think first to your past? If I had to guess, based on my own life and some of the friends I have, not often. I have a good friend, we can call her Abby for this story. Abby has a multi-year practice of daily prayer journaling. Each day as she prays and comes before the Lord, she writes in her prayer journal each and every prayer. As she finishes the week, she goes back and she actually highlights the ones where God has been faithful and answered her prayers. And then each month, she goes back and highlights where God has answered her prayers. And then each year, she goes back and highlights where God has answered her prayers. You see, she understands the importance of remembering and that she is, at the end of the day, like you and me, human. She knows her own tendency, her tendency to forget and not to acknowledge what the Lord has done in her life and through all around her. She chooses to remember, to put the work in, to tangibly see and reflect on how the Lord is good and how Christ is King. I ask again, how are you remembering that Christ is King over your past? Yet even as I say this, I know it's hard. It's hard to see the goodness of the Lord when all you may be feeling is pain or is longing. When you find yourself in a place where even though you've seen the Lord presiding over all your past, leading you to where you are, you can't presently see him at work or sovereign over your life. To be frank, I found myself in that place a lot this year. I found myself in a job where I can look back and I could see that God had guided every step of my way there. Yet while working in that job, I felt alone. I felt unsure. I had a longing for the Lord's goodness and Christ's kingship in my life. One of the other lectionary texts of this Sunday is Psalm 46, a lovely passage all about God's beauty and Christ's supremacy. In Psalm 46, we see the lines, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Christ is not just a king who redeems the past and makes it beautiful, who sets your feet on the right path to follow for his namesake, working and ensuring that his will is done on heaven as it is on earth. But he is also king right now. In this moment, what does that stir in you? How do you respond to not just the idea in your head, but the truth in your heart that Christ is currently reigning as Lord? Not just the idea that Christ is King, but the reality of the fact. How does that lead you into trusting God deeper? Christ has been King, is King, and shall be King forever. Now, the world that we we're all living in, to say the least, is a lot. We see wars, threats of wars, the economic state, global warming, political infighting, social media, mental health, and increasing polarization, and the list goes on. It's too much for any one person to hold on their own. Christ the King Sunday, if you're not familiar, emerged not that long ago during the 1900s. During a time not so dissimilar from our current situation, a time plagued by war, by violence, by discrimination, and by rulers who seek control, power, and fame. We saw the rise of the dictator, of the political state. We saw the emergence of anti-Semitism in Germany and discrimination against Asian Americans and Asian Canadians. The church in this time needed to remind itself and the world that Christ was Lord over all. In a global arena where politicians claimed kingship, the church decided to center itself around the King of Kings rather than the King of Man. They needed to establish the supremacy and the authority of Christ over the authority of man. The power of Christ over the power of man. And finally, the will of Christ over the will of man. Now, today is not too far removed from 100 years ago. We still face a lot of the same problems. Looking at the future and not being able to see how Christ could be Lord with all that plagues each and every one of us. We are still unsure with how all the world is going through, how Christ will reign as Lord in the future. The thing is that Christ will be Lord. He is now and forever shall be. To really help settle this point, I want to share with you a poem that's been helpful for me as I think through Christ's kingship. It's called Ozymandias. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half shrunk a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command. You can tell that it's sculptor whose well passions red, yet which survive stamped on this lifeless thing, that hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look at my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level strands stretch far, far away. Even as nations rise and as empires fall like we see here, Christ remains the eternal King. Christ has eternal supremacy. Not just in the time of ancient Israel or during the medieval period or during the 1920s. No, Christ is King now. He shall be and forevermore will be. Psalm 46, as I mentioned before, actually lays this out perfectly for us, starting in verse 8 till the end. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord who makes wars cease, who breaks the weapons of destruction, is with us. The very same man who died upon a cross for the sins of our world is our fortress, is our protector. Who shall we fear? In a sermon I preached in a class at Columbia Bible College where I study, I presented a question to some of my fellow students. I was pushing them to consider evangelism and outreach to their neighbors, and I posed to them this simple question. God loves your neighbor as well as your enemy. Do they know that truth? Does your neighbor and your enemy know that God loves them? Today I want to ask you a similar but different question. If you look at your life right now, Christ is King, has been King, and shall be King forever. Does your life reflect that truth? If someone was to look at how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your energy, would they come to the conclusion that Christ is Lord? Today, as we end the liturgical year, I challenge you to take some time this week before we enter into the coming season of Advent and hoping on the coming Lord, to look back upon the year gone by. To look at how you spent your year. And I want you to notice where Christ was Lord. Where the Lord God of Israel was with you and guided you. And as well, I want you to go from this place today, and as you go, to remind yourself that Christ is currently Lord, and finally, that Christ will be Lord forevermore. Now, too often, we save New Year's resolutions for January 1st. But today, I challenge you to make a New Year's resolution this week as we end the liturgical year, to look back on your life and ask the Lord to reveal where you have not placed him as king over all, where you have placed yourself upon that pedestal, or maybe finances or your family, instead of Christ as the king, where your actions do not reflect that gospel truth. I know that when I took some time to think about where Christ was king or wasn't king in my life, the Lord revealed that he was not king over my finances, that my spending didn't reflect the reality that Christ was king, that if I gave someone my bank account statements and they looked, their first thought was, wow, God is king over this man's life. That was just not the case. And as I enter this new liturgical year, I resolve to shift that. I choose to proclaim Christ's lordship in my actions as well as my words. As the great quote goes, I desire to preach the gospel at all times and to use words if necessary. As we close and move towards confession and towards the table, I want you to consider that part of your life where Christ isn't Lord, and to consider bringing that into confession with you and to lay it down at the feet of Christ Jesus, who has been Lord, is Lord in this very moment, and shall be Lord forever, and say, God, you've not been king. Be my king, that I love you, that I want to serve you, and I want my life to reflect the truth of the gospel. That Christ has been king forever, is king in this very moment, in this very gym, and will be king forever. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you're currently doing in each of our lives, and all that you will do in the coming days. Lord, we ask that you won't reveal to us where maybe you haven't been king in our life, where we've placed ourselves on that pedestal and not let our lives reflect the truth of the gospel which we believe so truly. Lord God, you are so good. I pray that we remember the words of Psalm 46, that you are our present help in times of need, that we can come to you and say, Lord, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. That as we go from this place, we can continue to rely on those words. Lord, Lord, I need you. And in each of those moments, you will, like the prodigal father, come running out and embrace us, saying, welcome home, my child. Amen.